We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
The family is the singular most important institution in society. It existed before government.
This is something that happens to me all the time. I am a housewife. That is my job. And people always want to know, oh, that's nice, and what else do you do?
Joel's church, as magnificent as the Houston Convex Center is, would pale in comparison to the temple that Solomon built. Joel only has one wife. I think Solomon had around 1,000. So Solomon out-Osteens Osteen, by far.
It was cross before glory for him. And as that was true for him, it's going to be true for us.
Former evangelicals on track to be Lutheran pastors by attending Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Love, issues, etc.
Well, it seems inevitable here, doesn't it? I've been saying that, and some have been chided by guests from time to time talking about same-sex marriage as public policy as law being inevitable in the United States. Most people have come to finally say, yeah, I guess in terms of public policy for the time being, it appears inevitable. What about elsewhere? What about in our European roots? What about in Northern and Western Europe? Now, some places have had same-sex marriage, and they would say marriage equality for some time. There are a few holdouts, one of them being Germany, although 74% of the German public seem to favor same-sex marriage, and few know exactly what Angela Merkel, prime minister, actually thinks about it. She tends to keep her cards pretty close to her vest. Is it inevitable there as well? And if so, then why? And what are the demographics in Germany that are changing not only the economy, but in a lot of ways, the future of Germany? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 3rd of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is going to be our guest for the first half hour or so. We're going to talk about same-sex marriage in Germany and Germany's demographic decline, really kind of an implosion in a lot of ways. Daniel Davis will join us after that from Town Hall Media and The Federalists. He's written a recent column there titled Bruce Jenner's Transformation is a Lose-Lose for Liberal Ideology. Very interesting idea. You'll want to stay tuned and listen to that as we talk about Bruce Jenner and traditional gender norms. Then in hour two of Issues Etc., we look forward to Sunday morning. According to the 3-year lectionary, we're going to talk about the end of one thing, the beginning of another. We're going to talk about the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Jesus talking about his mother and his brothers, but not in terms of his familiar mothers and brothers. Man's fall into sin and the other propers for this coming Sunday morning. Dr. Carl Fekencher, professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest in hour two. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours if you have questions or comments. We invite your phone calls, your email, your tweets, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us that email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, we know that you're listening all over the place and in very different stages of completion, so to speak. Well, if that's the case, you still want to join the conversation, we have the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Joining us first, Dr. Uwe Simonetto. We're going to talk about some matters in Germany, beginning with same-sex marriage and the prospect for that country. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a regular guest. He's a native of Germany, an international journalist, founder of the League of Faithful Masks, and author of the book Triumph of the Absurd, A Reporter's Love for the Abandoned People of Vietnam. Uwe, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Is same-sex marriage an inevitability in Germany?
I hope not, and I don't think it is an inevitability. First of all, same-sex marriage is against the Constitution. Secondly, there are very strong forces within Germany, not the majority, but strong forces that resist it. I'll give you one example. Last Sunday, the state-related Evangelical Lutheran Church of Saxony, that's the oldest Lutheran church in the world, elected a very orthodox pastor as its new bishop for the next 12 years, following a bishop who had allowed and whose church had allowed same-sex couples in the parsonage, the church-owned parsonages. We are witnessing some significant changes because other parts of the spiritual world in life in Germany indicate the same thing. Now, you do have a 74% majority in favor of same-sex marriage, which is troubling. I am pretty certain that the current coalition, at least the majority within the current coalition, both Christian Democrat and Social Democrat, would not affirm this. I don't see Angela Merkel affirming it. And I certainly don't see the leaders of the Social Democrats affirming it, although within the Social Democrats and the Greens Party and, of course, the Left Party, which is the ex-Communist Party, they're pushing for it. But I think there's still a good chance that this can be avoided.
Let's talk a little bit about Angela Merkel, and she has not spoken a lot about it, but you seem to be pretty confident, as you said, that she would not be in favor of it. What gives you that impression?
Well, she is a committed Christian. She is also a very astute politician. So as you, she is keeping her cards close to her chest. That's very true. And she is a populist. She does mind public opinion a great deal. But I do not believe that she has actually said so and said so repeatedly that this is not something she would like to have, like to see. I trust her in that she is a good politician, speaks in her favor. The other leading personalities in the Christian Democratic Party, such as, for example, the defense minister, who was a woman, a mother of 8 or 7, the interior minister, all these people are good, in their cases, Protestant Christians, others are Catholic Christians. I might be mistaken. I might be nailed to the cross for that if I'm mistaken. But the chances are that this aberration will disappear or might disappear before this very slow-moving process of changing the constitution of Germany could be turned around. One example is, under the constitution of Germany, abortion is still illegal. Most forms of abortion are no longer prosecuted, but it is the Supreme Court or Supreme Constitutional Court kept it illegal on the premise of saying the state does not really approve of it. It might sound hypocritical, but it is at least a hopeful sign. One of the reasons for that is that in Germany, the Supreme Court, which might change then, but the Supreme Court still adheres to a considerable extent to natural law, which is not the case in this country. So Roe versus Wade has not happened in Germany. And, of course, as you might know, in Germany, even though it is increasingly unchurched, God is still mentioned in the first sentence of the Constitution.
How would you characterize the rest of Europe on this? Because the article that I was looking at from the BBC Berlin correspondent characterizes Germany as lagging behind the rest of Europe. How does the rest of Europe fare on the same-sex marriage issue?
Well, listen. I don't know what the situation in Britain is. I know in France it has been legalized, but there again, in France it has been legalized, and as soon as it was legalized, you had 300,000 young people out in the streets demonstrating against it. Young people, I'm talking about, mainly Christians, of course. I believe in the Nordic states it is legalized. Sweden, the Lutheran Church of Sweden, the Bishop of Stockholm lives in a same-sex marriage with another priest of that church. So the rest of Europe is, quote, ahead or behind, whichever way you might look at it. Germany, it's you might also get it before long in places like Spain or in Catholic places, in these countries where the Catholic Church is so strong or has been so strong.
Well, that's actually happened in Ireland, obviously.
Yeah, has happened, and it is, I think, a considerable shock. Obviously, there are also reasons. It's also a rebellion, of course, against the Catholic Church of Ireland, which didn't follow the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, when it should have in the 16th century, and now is following the new European Protestant Reformation, when it shouldn't, which is, of course, you know, a Protestant liberalism that has led to that.
So you mentioned natural law as still being a prevailing notion in the German Supreme Court. Why is that very important for any society, but especially for the German society? Why is it important that natural law still be a concept that is both respected and forms the foundation for the way not only the people but their courts and their judges think?
Well, I would say natural law is important. Of course, as a Christian, I'd say natural law is the law written into our heart by God. But if you use a secular tack here, natural law is important in order to maintain order and prevent chaos. Natural law is a protection of what is good in a society against what is evil in the society. Natural law sets the moral standards of a society, without which there would be no moral standards. And of course, you see this now happening all over the world with this huge mass murder of innocent life. Resulting, by the way, and I have to point this out to Americans, resulting from the Roe versus Wade decision, because it was America that kicked up this avalanche of abortions worldwide. I'm talking about the Western world, of course. You had it before in the communist world. It was America that kicked it off. The others followed suit, foolishly, of course. But it is a violation of natural law, and it's the willful abandonment of natural law by much of American jurisprudence.
Let's talk a little bit about just one more question on this subject here. Little bit about something we're going to discuss on the other side of the break, the demographic decline. You talk about the baby boom in Germany holding that society hostage to its ideas, as much as it has in the United States, but with the decline of the baby boom, does that bode well or ill for the issue of same-sex marriage in Germany?
Well, I hope it bodes well. Again, I can only express hope because I'm really not a soothsayer. The society, the German society is still thoroughly screwed up. We have to admit, we have to face this. What we are experiencing now is a result of the cataclysm of Nazi Germany, which was followed then by a cataclysm of another in Western Germany now, of another totalitarian mindset, which was the 1968 mindset, Marxist-Leninism, brought about by the Frankfurt School, Marcuse, et cetera, following the 1968 revolution in France. And that has filtered down to the lowliest parishes in the church. The church has been, especially the Protestant church, has been in the claws of these 1968ers, as we call them. And now we're crawling out from it. More and more do you see faithful pastors making a stand, coming up again. The event in Saxony is very significant because this is a young pastor, who relatively young, he's 47, who was made bishop, somebody who was born after 68 and grew up after 68 and has not been affected by the 68 movement. You have similar event, similar developments in the Southwest and in Baden-Württemberg, where they are now resisting all this. How quickly this can occur, we don't know. I suspect that it will take a catastrophe to shake Germans to their core, that they return to their norms. Everything, if you read the statistics, German polls, etc., don't trust them ever, because they tell you what they consider hip, whether it deals with same-sex marriage, whether it deals with abortion. It's always what's hip. Actually, in their normal daily behavior, this isn't quite so, except that they're not building any families. And the families are not being built because being a family person, family man, was being ridiculed after the war as typically stupid German species, or Philistine, petty bourgeois mentality. The German woman was called the KKK person, Küche, Kinder, Kirche, kitchen, children, and church. That was their pursuit, and that was ridiculed for decades and decades. And so now they believe it. Or they parrot this nonsense, when in fact it was one of the most spectacular accomplishments of, I think, the Reformation, to produce this heavy emphasis on child raising, on the mother in the kitchen, meaning the mother being a loving mother in the family. Now it's, of course, a hindrance to the career, a woman's career, to have children, which is why the Germans say they have no longer any children. It's too expensive. It inhibits your career. It inhibits your joy, and it does all sorts of terrible things to you until they get old and they're alone.
We'll talk more about Germany's demographic decline, its causes, and its effects. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is with us for about another 10 minutes on the other side of the break, a native of Germany, an international journalist, and author of the book Triumph of the Absurd, Reporters' Love for the Abandoned People of Vietnam. We'll be right back. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, Visit WittenbergAcademy.org.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Wednesday afternoon, June the 3rd, Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest for a few more minutes. We're talking about Germany's demographic decline. He's author of the book Triumph of the Absurd, Reporter's Love for the Abandoned People of Vietnam. He writes with some, well, no small measure of passion about the Vietnamese people and about his time among them in this book. It's a tremendous book, stirring and moving. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for Triumph of the Absurd, Reporter's Love for the Abandoned People of Vietnam. Uwe, this is something that has its parallel in the United States, where the baby boom is already and expected to further go into retirement, stop earning, stop paying into Social Security, in our case, and start to draw their Social Security. And this has every politician at the national level in the United States, their blood runs cold with the idea of that kind of draw on the national purse, if you will. It will bankrupt the system is kind of the commonly held conventional wisdom. There is the same true in Germany.
Oh, absolutely. The German politicians of all parties are scared out of their minds of that, and they make it a point. It is simply that the population doesn't respond. It's a demented mindset, if you will, at the moment, that politics are struggling against, and the churches too, by the way. Yes, it is a problem. In Germany, you have, of course, another movement which is fascinating. We might not have time to discuss this in detail, but you have, of course, the influx of foreigners in great numbers. Not just Muslims, but many of them Muslims, and, of course, they are Africans and God knows what. We discussed this earlier on, Todd, at another segment. The great opportunity for the church now and for Germany is to evangelize and baptize these Muslims. And this is happening increasingly. Our sister church in Germany is doing has now made international news. It is has been shown on national German television, the service of baptism in one church in Berlin. And it's, we know, for example, from conferences where clerics of both major denominations say, yes, we are secretly baptizing Muslims. One archbishop, Catholic archbishop, told a friend of mine he's actually baptizing 50 a month, which is huge, given that he's an archbishop. He has other things to do than go around baptizing Muslims and getting them in there. There is an opportunity, and I would watch Germany very, very carefully in the years to come, whether there is not, obviously I would say that, call that a gift of God. It doesn't matter what color Germans are, have 200 years from now, 150 years, or even 50 years from now. If they're brown skinned, so be it. If Germany remains a Christian nation and with its Christian and Lutheran values in particular, then it would be a blessing, a wonderful blessing. And then I presume Germans will have more children again. Again, this might be sheer speculation, but it could happen, and it's whether it's likely to happen, I don't know.
So, some have looked at that kind of issue that's prevalent in Germany with the immigration of Muslims,
yeah,
and said that's the future of the United States as well. It will be a matter of time, given proximity and things like that, but that is the future of the United States.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, no, I think it's not. I mean, it's not Muslims. I mean, you're rather blessed. You have Christians coming from Latin America primarily, and so the Latinization of the United States is a more likely prospect. That you might also have more Muslims is quite possible, not in the substantial numbers as we have them in Europe. But then is the question, even if that should occur, the question is how faithful is the church, and is it going out, is it you grasping this enormous opportunity to bring the gospel to these people who are open to it? I mean, this is the experience the Germans have right now, and has been swept under the carpet by the secular media in Germany and elsewhere. In this country, I could hardly even sell it to Christian media, except for Christianity Today and Lutheran Witness, and you could never convince secular media to publish this. In Germany, finally, the secular media are waking up to it, and of course, it can turn into an avalanche because, as I said, and as all the pastors dealing with this affirm. They are open to the gospel. That would be fantastic, you know.
So, what is your prediction? I mean, just in general terms, speaking of this as a native German, looking forward, say 25, 50 years, to the two issues that we've dealt with here, the major issue of liberalization of that country with same-sex marriage, and coupled with the decline of a baby boom. We don't know what the next 50 years holds, of course, but given those other factors remaining constant, what's your prediction there on what Germany will look like?
My prediction is that white Germans, and native-born Germans will continue to be in decline. However, with a caveat that other nationalities, like in my case, my forefathers were all my ancestors were by and large not Germans. They were French and Venetians. So you might see the decline plus a rise of non-native-born Germans, darker skinned, both Christian and Muslim from other sides. That's prediction number one. Whether it is with the rise of Muslim, with the influx of Muslims or otherwise, I believe there will ultimately be, or before long, be a revulsion and against these ontological absurdities like same-sex marriage and abortion, etc., etc., etc. I think we have a catastrophe, which we have soon. It might continue for a while, but then it has to stop at one point, because the population, the then population of Germany, will no longer agree. Thirdly, of course, one has to, as a Christian, pray and hope and have confidence that God will turn these things around. It hasn't happened in America yet, which worries me very deeply, because, I mean, America is the leader of the Western world, and America is the one that has triggered all this, including this same-sex marriage stuff, and is being copied in Germany. So I hope that this will ultimately be stopped. If not, we will live in a cataclysmic situation, which is very, very probable. By in human terms, I would call it probable. But I am a Christian. It would be a lack of faith if I stated it otherwise.
With the near advent of the Reformation's anniversary, 500th anniversary, Germany obviously will be a focus of people's attention. It will also focus the German people's attention. Some would hope that they might begin to ask questions that have been kind of long unanswered about the real nature of that part of their national history as a people. What do you think the anniversary, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, will bring for the German people?
Oh, I wish I could say it's not going to be honky-tonk. I mean, it's Luther is being built up as a sort of national figure, but at the same time ridiculed as having been a huge anti-Semite, and the content of the Reformation, of Luther's message, is not being told. However, as I said at the beginning of our interview, there is a shift now. I mean, if the Bishop of Saxony and his church, that's Lutherland, if he is Orthodox and he proclaims the gospel properly, and if secular events might waken up Germans to the need for some meaning, some real meaning in their lives, and not just what they get through talk shows on television, that can happen. A lot can happen in the next 2 years between now and the 31st of October, 2017.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a native of Germany, an international journalist, founder of the League of Faithful Masks, author of the book Triumph of the Absurd, Reporter's Love for the Abandoned People of Vietnam. Uwe, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Daniel Davis. He's written an interesting column for The Federalist titled Bruce Jenner's Transformation is a Lose-Lose for Liberal Ideology. We'll find out what he means by that when we come back. Then in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc., Dr. Carl Fakentra of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will join us. We'll spend the last hour looking forward to Sunday morning, according to the 3-year lectionary. Stay tuned.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at IssuesETC.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Today, the biblical account of creation is under attack in the popular media, in our schools, and even many churches and seminaries.
Dr. David Menton of Answers in Genesis, talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We are told that the evidence for evolution is so compelling that the church and its clergy and teachers must accept evolution or be dismissed as fools. But I will show that the scientific case for evolution is not compelling, and that evolution is incompatible with biblical Christianity and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
You can hear and meet Dr. David Menton making the case for creation Friday, June 19th and Saturday, June 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit IssuesETC.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.